Monitor, and there's a touch of Baja Marimba in the air. Always something there to remind me. Ted Steele, and here's a song that was probably written by a Monitor listener who stayed with us every minute of the weekend so as not to miss a thing. Will You Be Staying After Sunday by the Peppermint Rainbow.
Oh,
Monitor this weekend is surveying the new freedoms trend in our country. But the fact is that it is not just an American phenomenon, it's worldwide. What's happening in London, where much of the new freedom in music and fashion originated? A report from George Montgomery, NBC News.
An East African newspaper recently told Asians immigrating to England that a virtuous woman in Britain is as rare as a zebra in Hyde Park. This is an overstatement, but it is true that since the middle 60s, miniskirted Britain has become increasingly permissive, especially with regard to sex. For instance, last week, a judge acquitted a book dealer who sent out illustrated advertising pamphlets showing a couple having sexual intercourse. The judge said that since the book being advertised by the pamphlets was first published 5 years ago, the permissive society has become more and more permissive. The judge added that today the situation is such that to the ordinary man, the pamphlets would not seem indecent. There are several other examples of how British moral attitudes have changed from restrictiveness to permissiveness, often with official acquiescence, if not downright encouragement. For the last year, thanks to Parliament, Britain has had the most liberal abortion law in the West. Some traditionalist doctors forecast angrily that soon one out of every eight pregnancies will be terminated. No surprise, since the illegitimate birth rate is the highest in a generation. Parliament also has legalized homosexual acts between consenting adults and is preparing to make divorce easier at a time when the number of petitions for divorce is the highest since World War II. Prostitution is tolerated, pornography is not seen as a problem, and the apostles of sexual freedom are having a field day in print and films. All the indications are that sex outside marriage has become widely accepted. Permissive, easygoing attitudes are not confined to sex. Ordinary people complain when thugs get long prison sentences, and many of these same people no longer believe in working hard. Jipping the tax man seems to be getting more common, too. The pro-permissive people say swinging Britain is becoming a more tolerant and humane society. The antis, and there are still plenty of them, argue that since losing her imperial role, sinking Britain has become an aimless, feeble, and somewhat decadent society. George Montgomery, NBC News, London.
Oh, England, swing like a pendulum do. Hello, dear. Well, who wanted an empire anyhow? Barbara Streisand wants Frank Mills back again, although I can't figure out why.
I met a boy called Frank Mills on September 12th right here in front of Waverly. But unfortunately, I lost his address. He was last seen with his friend, a drummer he
about new freedoms, as Monitor is doing this weekend, they have a unique approach in Scandinavia. You'll find out what it is in a moment here on the Monitor Beacon. Dial Plaza 78866 and WNBC Radio will put you in contact. The Sunday evening telephone show that invites you to discuss today's issues with three clergymen. This is Mike Moss. I'm your host. My guests are the Reverend James Crawford, Rabbi Mordecai Waxman, and Father Don Pryor. This week, our topic, Is God Dead? Be in contact. Listen to and call WNBC Radio, Plaza 7, 8866, tomorrow night at 9:05.
This is Charlton Heston. Think about a lonely Marine soldier, airman, or sailor. Does it bother you that they must sacrifice while you are safe? The gift to USO won't even the score, but give because of what it means to them. A friendly club, an American oasis overseas, a better choice of things to do, something that says we care. USO gets no government support. It depends on our gifts through the United Fund of Community Chest. Someone you know needs USO.
WNBC, Radio 660, New York. If your neighborhood movie house has a sign out front which says, for adults only, it's just possible that the film is from one of the Scandinavian countries, where the moral code seems to be anything goes. Here's a Monitor conversation with actress-director Mai Zetterling, who's thickened many a prurient plot.
Mai, let's get at the different standards of censorship. In Sweden, there doesn't seem to be much. How would you explain attitudes on censorship in making films?
In Sweden, we censor brutality. In
violence?
Violence, brutality. And I would say in America and in England and in most other countries, you censor sex. That is all.
You one time told me a story about the differences of America and Sweden, particularly about a famous actress who was doing something that is rather common in Sweden, and correct me if I'm wrong, in that she was living with a man. And a film company would not allow her to make a picture in America if she continued to stay with this man. Now, that's a big difference, isn't it? That's accepted in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
That is, there's nothing unusual about that,
mm-hmm.
is there?
Mm-hmm.
And explain that to us. Why is that accepted in Sweden, and why not in America?
Well, it's about these things. We don't have the double morality that exists in other countries like Italy and Spain, America and England. We're much more straightforward about it. There is nothing shameful to be living with a man and to be loving another person, you know, if you're serious about it. I mean, it's not at all difficult. And if you have a child without being married, the mother is never... What's it called? Stigmatized. No, what you
say? Yes, that's right. She doesn't have a stigma.
No, she hasn't. And it's perfectly easy for her to live on and have friends. And there's nothing problematical about it, and I think it's much better, you know, than to send somebody almost in exile because she's had a child.
Thank you very much for this visit here in Copenhagen.
Thank you.
I've been talking to Maya Zetterling. This is John Cannon reporting for Monitor from Copenhagen.
New freedoms, the Scandinavian way. And here's a frank report on the Sinatra way. Can a skinny kid from Hoboken find happiness? Listen.
And now the end is near. And so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. State my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it.
Himself, then he has not to save.
Monitor Sports. Why did Jimmy Ellis, the World Boxing Association version of heavyweight champion, recently turn down a big money fight with Joe Frazier, who is recognized as champion in five states? The fans want to know that answer, and so does Monitor's Don Greider.
Jimmy, you won the WBA heavyweight title by beating Jerry Quarry. Reportedly, you refused to sign $250,000 contract to fight Joe Frazier in either Madison Square Garden or Philadelphia. Now, how can a fella turn down $250,000?
Well, I look at it this way. I had to go to a man's hometown to defend my title when they don't recognize me in the first place. So I'd rather fight him on neutral grounds where he's not recognized. And I am the world's heavyweight boxing champion, and I want to be treated as a champion.
Of course, now, you say neutral ground. If Frazier fights you outside of the five states in which he's recognized champion, then he's fighting in your territory, so to speak.
But I'm not fighting in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Other words, he's out of Philadelphia in New York, and that's where he lives, and he just about fight every fight that he fights in New York or Philadelphia. He don't never hardly want to come out of there. Why should I want to go to his hometown and fight him in his backyard when we can go someplace else?
Jimmy, do you really think that officials at Madison Square Garden would rob you of your title?
Well, I'm not saying the officials would rob me. It's just that we fight. I wanted to be on the up and up where no advantage is in my way, no advantage in his way, and may the best man win.
There seems to be some increasing sentiment that you won't meet Joe Frazier because you're afraid of losing to him.
Afraid of losing? I'm not afraid of Joe Frazier in no kind of way. I've been boxing longer than Joe Frazier. I've fought harder fighters than Joe Frazier. So I can't see why anybody could say that I'm afraid of Joe Frazier. Everybody in the whole world and saw what I have done.
Jimmy Frazier has made some comments that would indicate that he doesn't think too much of your ability as a boxer. What about you, on the other hand? What do you think of
Frazier? I don't think too much of his ability of a fighter. All I know him doing is just coming and throwing. I try to use my head. I try to use boxing skills. So, like I said, Joe Frazier can say what he wants to, but what he's done in the ring and proven in the ring. So he can make all the statements outside the ring that he wants to make. But when it comes time to win the ring, it's no bad but me and Joe Frazier. Can't nobody talk for him. He had to fight for himself. I got to fight for myself.
How long do you say it'll be before you meet Joe Frazier?
Well, I'm looking to meet Joe Frazier in the next 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. Because I'm setting myself to fight sometime in June for the title.
Jimmy Ellis, WBA World Heavyweight Champion, thank you very much for talking to us on Monitor, and good luck.
Okay, then, Don. Thank you very much.
And now this is Don Greider reporting for Monitor Sports.
In skiing, Kiki Cutter of Bend, Oregon, won the women's slalom in the North American Alpine Championships at Waterville Valley, New Hampshire today. Austria's Gertrude Gabel was disqualified in the first run. However, Miss Gabel had enough previous points to clinch the World Cup in this final event of the series. Finland beat the winless United States 4-3 in the World Hockey Championships in Stockholm. The loss dropped the United States into the cellar. The last-placed team at the end of the tournament will be relegated to Group B play in next year's championships.
Here comes tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Monitor continues its look at the new freedoms here at home and abroad, and we'll peek behind the Iron Curtain into Moscow's boudoirs, and we'll also check on why we so often make bestsellers out of dirty books. Film critic Rex Reed reviews a dirty movie, or is it a dirty movie? And Regula's Joyce brothers, Bob Considine and Joe Garagiola, will be freely swinging at targets that need it. Henry Morgan, who's always used his freedom to say what he means, will be in the host chair. Now, that's tomorrow on Monitor. Right now, let's think about spring. And that means, more than ever, flowers.
Here's a reminder from your FTD florist. Easter Sunday's just around the corner. And now is the time to call or visit your nearby FTD florist. When you order early, he'll assure on-time delivery, even save you money on out-of-town orders. And this year, there's more. Many FTD florists can send a combination of flowers and candy, but flowers plus or flowers alone, the time to order for Easter is now. The one who can make it all happen is your FTD florist.
Now more Monitor Sports, a progress report on the Sebring, Florida 12-hour auto race, which will be ending in about 35 minutes. Here's Monitor's Chris Economaki.
What has been described as the most fantastic Sebring in the 19-year history of the Florida 12-hour endurance race is about to end. At the moment, a 6-year-old British Ford GT40 driven by Belgian Jackie Hicks and Briton Jackie Oliver, holds a slim lead over a fast-closing Italian Ferrari, driven by New Zealander Chris Amon and stateside star Mario Andretti. A triple German Porsche has just moved into fourth place, as screen star James Garner's Lola Chevy is at this very moment in the pits having a broken front hub repaired. The car lies fourth in the standings, with the last of the highly touted German Porsche team in fifth position. They had five new open-top roadsters in the field when the race got underway this morning. With the finish coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, no one here seems sure of victory. This is Chris Economaki for Monitor Sports.
Let's step on the gas, classical gas, and it's Hugo Montenegro in the lead. Freedoms, the right to know and the right to enjoy the leisure moments. In Providence, Rhode Island, station WJAR carries Monitor listeners in the southern half of New England. My name is Ted Steele, who likes being with you wherever you are. When a patient enters an Easter Seal Rehabilitation Center, he has the assurance that highly skilled physical therapists will use the most modern and advanced methods to rehabilitate him, to teach him to use an artificial limb, or to train him to walk with braces on both legs. He'll work with occupational therapists, too, to strengthen his weakened hands and to increase his range of motion. Maximum physical restoration is accomplished by registered occupational therapists who employ graded activities. Physical and occupational therapy are very important to the handicapped individual if he is to be saved from a life of dependency. Easter Seal therapists work long and patiently with each person, helping to work the miracles of rehabilitation. And that's your help, too, because you care enough to give to Easter Seals each year. Because of you, thousands of crippled children are taught to lead useful, productive lives.
If there's something to say, Brad Crandall will say it. Weeknights, 9 to midnight, on WNBC Radio 660, New York.